cliffcentral.com.
Hi everyone, my name is Nonhlanhla Mdluli.
Hi, this is Thabo Mdluli. You're on Belighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central, on radio, unscripted, uncensored. That's beautiful.
That is nice.
We love it.
That is very nice.
We so love it.
Very creative.
Hello, it's Monday again.
This Monday comes too quickly.
Yeah.
It's like we were here last week and we are here now.
Yeah. It really reminds me of Savungai. Like, it really, really comes quickly.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
I see where this is going. Throwing shade so early in the morning.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
Hi, Maroms. How are you? Welcome, everyone, to Belighted with Rami and Romeo on a beautiful Monday morning. Mm. We are here. Romeo is overdressed for the occasion, as usual. And yeah, he just wants to look better than me. Dude, you don't have to. There's no need.
I'm a corporate guy.
Don't be overdressed.
I'm actually not dressed today. It's just casual.
Hey, and he calls this casual.
Casual. You know, I suit up.
Yeah, ne.
Come on.
I know, but then there's no need. Like, at least you didn't bring your jacket into the studio, you know, leave it in the car or something. And I mean, we've got bathrooms here. You can always change after the show. You don't have to, like, be overly dressed with your shiny shoes. And I'm just wearing my beautiful plastic shoes.
But you see, that's the beauty of Belighted. Anything goes. Anything goes. Anyway, how was your weekend?
I look better than
how
you.
How was your weekend?
My weekend, what did I do? My weekend was was okay. It was lovely. It was quiet. My daughter came back, Botsilo came back after from a holiday because, I mean, I was home alone for the whole week.
The whole week?
Yeah, whole week.
I wonder what you got up to.
No kids. I got up to nothing. I simply continued writing my book.
Okay.
And
how far are you? How far are you?
I don't know. The story just keeps turning and twisting and I keep plotting and scheming and I don't know when it's going to end, but it will get there. It will definitely
I think
get
I'm also
there.
Selfish with mine as well. I keep writing and I say, okay, I'll stop. Okay, one more chapter. Okay, I'll stop. I'm actually sitting at about 430 pages now.
No, that's crazy. I don't think I will do that. I don't think I will do that because I don't want someone to put my book down. I mean, there are a whole lot of books that I've read in my life that was just so intriguing, but then they had like 1,000 pages. Mm. I mean, a beautiful book like Cain and Abel, some books that Jeffrey Archer wrote, some book that books by Sidney Sheldon, you know. Mm. I mean, even Danielle Steele, she will just be going on and on. Danielle Steele, every time I read a Danielle Steele book, I can hear Celine Dion music playing in the background. You know what I mean? It's just so,
But you see, my view is that I nuggetize my writing. So you read something and you're done. And then, so you can skip chapters. You can go to the last chapter, read something, done. So it's not like a connection.
Yeah, but now you see, I'm a storyteller. Mm. Well, now you're like trying to do.
I mean, I'm nuggets. It's nuggets of life. I'm a motivational speaker, so I try to. You're rolling your eyes.
I am rolling my eyes because there you go. Well,
I can't wait until we launch our books, though. I really can't wait.
I think it's going to be absolutely epic. I don't know. Awesome. I'm not sure what I'm going to do this year about when launching my book, but I know I want to do something.
But you know what I like about you?
Yeah?
I like the fact that you are impromptu when it comes to your creativity. You can script something that didn't exist now and it makes sense. So that's your gift.
I hope so. So how was your weekend? Because I did absolutely nothing. I don't want to lie to you. I didn't go out. No. On Saturday. See, now I remember I did something interesting. On Saturday, I went to the BMW X Trail. What? You know when you go out there and they show you how what the car can do and all of that. So I did that. Mm. So obviously, it was quite interesting. Mm. And I drove the X6. Yeah. Yo! Wow. Yeah. And
the X6 bucket or the just the... you know, you have the X6M.
Yeah.
And then you have the X6, then your different M.
No. I've got like it was the M.
The M. So you have the bucket seats.
The one with the... Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I was like, we could sit all three of us in one seat. You know what I mean?
That's how big it is. Yeah.
But what I didn't tell them... Okay, we did skid thingy me there. And I just didn't say a lot and was kidding. And they're like, that was quite a short time. No, we should have let you compete with the guys. I'm like, no, don't worry. I'm just fine.
Yeah.
And then when you drove back, the guys are like, yeah, we just want to see how fast, who's going to get there first. I was like, no, fine, guy. You go.
Yeah.
You go. I will catch up.
Yeah.
To cut a long story short, they found me waiting for them.
Nice.
Well, I just didn't tell them that I do have an advanced driver's.
I just
said, let me just show you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then after that, we went for drinks. Then I went to a party in Tembisa.
How? Now it's
but
coming
for 10
back
minutes.
To you. Now it's coming.
For 10 minutes.
Now it's coming back.
No, with the same guys from BMW. Ah. Then, yeah, but it was like, because they were like, okay, fine. So I drove to Tembisa. Hmm. And.
Still in the M's?
Still. Hmm. Still.
What color?
Just maroon.
Ha. Interior?
No, black leather seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Napa stitching?
It had everything. The detail.
The detail.
It looked like a Louis Vuitton bag. You know, those stitching, you can see they counted. It's like, we're going to have 112 stitches on this side, 112 stitches on this side.
Yes.
Make sure they're even. Mm. Oh, no, it looks stunning. It looks beautiful. Mm. So, yeah, I'll be driving some of their cars for the next few months, just going all over the place.
Nice.
Driving to all over throughout the country, doing a whole lot of things. Mm. Yeah, but we're still in talks, and hopefully they will come on to the show and see what they can do with us here.
Yeah, so because, if you are listening,
be my driver.
No, trust me.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah.
And the show is looking for sponsors, by the way.
Yeah, you know.
Looking for
and
sponsors.
Since, I mean, I don't have a car.
Yeah. So,
I don't have a car. So I want to look
good
in a BM.
This is our show, Unradio.
Can I look like those celebrities that, rock up in nice cars?
Yes.
And then they have to leave it at the dealership and take Uber back home? That's me, baby. I don't have issues with that. I don't have issues with that.
Anyway, so my weekend then was actually quite nice and chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Family is
weekend.
That's
sweet.
That's it. You know, family time and a lot of studying. As you know, I'm doing my honors in computer science. Mm. So I'm trying to really, the amount of work kind of like really restricts your movement. So those are the things that I corporately do.
Computer science. Sounds so rich.
Anyway, let's talk
about honors. My honors. And I'm not joking. I'm just waiting for an honorary degree. I'm sick and tired. I can have Dr. Kumalo, Dr. Ribs. You must see it.
I declare and decree.
Yes, declare and decree.
You are going to get it.
I better get it.
You are going to get it.
I better get it. Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Oh, woman. We even have Dr. Malinga. I want to be a doctor too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also want to be a doctor.
It's going to happen.
Better
in
happen.
The arts.
Absolutely.
And literature. I think you write beautiful stories.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway,
thank you.
Let's welcome our guests.
Yeah, let's. Why not? Are you going to do that?
I've got a burning question for them. Yes.
Already?
No. You. The thing is, you know what? I think this home, as we grow, we're starting to have order and start to understand the dynamics of who does what better. And you do a better job in welcoming our guests.
Oh.
And I do a drum roll better.
Okay.
So let's go.
Are you going to keep it in time? Ladies and gentlemen, on Belighted this morning, we've got those people that keep nyonyobing around your house, searching for stories, wearing coats and sunglasses and scarves to hide their faces just so they can get a story around you and about you. You wake up one morning, boom, your front page news.
Yeah.
And they quote you.
Yeah.
Even when they haven't spoken to you.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
You laugh at your creativity. You never thought you were going to bring that up. You see? You never thought that was going to come out of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in studio today we have Gabby Sile. What's the name, John? We call her the Gabby.
Yes.
Gabby Sile Mbele.
The Gabs.
The Gabby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lerato. Matsoso.
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 Yeah.
Oh, because my cousins, we call it Soto.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Matsoso.
All right, it's okay.
Yeah. So they are here.
Yes.
Welcome, beautiful ladies.
Thank you
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I feel blessed.
Lerato has grown so much. It's actually, it's like, she's grown up.
Yeah.
I feel old all of a sudden.
Wow.
And of course, the girl refuses to age. She's been looking like this since the first time I saw her.
Come on.
You know? If you are listening, I'm surrounded by beauty, power, and brains.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I put that on record.
Mm. Exactly.
Yes.
Dumelantle.
Asha,
the girls. So, you woke up this morning, you're like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
As always.
As there always in the morning.
Never mind, I don't work on Mondays.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because I know, Mondays are not a working day. Yeah. I mean, Gebisid only works from Tuesdays to Tuesday, he's like, you kind of warm up Wednesday. Then Thursday, you're like, okay, let's get this thing going. Yeah. Then put the thing to bed. And then after that, after Sunday, after we've all talked about what you guys have said, we're like, okay, now I can sleep. Yeah. No Mondays. Mm. And you're here.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for coming, man.
Thank you for having us.
So, Maromza apparently has questions and burning questions. But before we go to the burning questions, can we tell? Let me tell you, Maromza always complains. These days he's no longer. Wait. He used to complain. These days he doesn't complain.
Why are you dragging our laundry in public?
What? You know, that's what you said last week. Every time I tell this story, you always say, don't drag our laundry in public. Maromza always says, I know everybody.
And I can copy a lechane.
No, they're not going to say no. So before I go on the history of how do I know the Gebi and how do I know Lerato, then what I will do rather is do like the normal, what people will find, or okay, the Gebi is a journalist.
Senior.
No, wait.
Oh, yeah.
People can't see my fingers in on radio, right? Is journalist in inverted commas. But now, that's where she started. But now, the Gebi has moved from being a journalist into being a writer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Of beautiful stories.
Of beautiful people. Stories about people.
Yes.
But in a reporting kind of manner. So she doesn't just say, Romeo was at an event on a Friday.
Yeah.
No. She tells us who Romeo is first and why was it important for him to be at that event on a Friday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it is no longer just reporting, you've been there, we saw you.
In Aperhempe Black.
No. She doesn't tell people about, you know, she will throw in the things like, she actually did look stunning. He looked stunning in such an outfit.
Yeah.
But the significance of him being there was because of this and this and that. So it is no longer reporting. That's my own personal opinion. Mm. It is no longer reporting with Gabisile. It is more like, really? She gives you a life book. What's that, Oyena? She gives you a life book about people, so that when you read her articles in the paper, it makes sense why it is a double spread, and then why it has now moved from page three. And then you continue to page 11 as well, you know?
And I think also one thing that our guest needs to know, we actually buy newspapers because of them.
Yeah,
true. We don't buy a newspaper because it's a newspaper. Because I've got a relationship with you, I can relate to your writing. Oh. I buy it because of you. Oh. So you contribute to the money that your company makes.
Yeah, a lot. And Lerato, on the other hand, she's a tabloid queen. This one can write lies about you and she'll be fine, you know?
Mara, why? Why?
Like, guys, Lerato lies. Okay, I'm kidding. But what I like about Lerato is that even though she has worked for what we call tabloids and what is those?
Soro Distep.
Romeo, what are you showing us? It's off. What are you showing me?
Digital progressiveness.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, so you get a pop-up now.
Oh, is it? Mm. Fantastic. Yeah, nice.
Well, congratulations to Tibotaj, by the way.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to Tibotaj. I'm just saying.
Whoa, no. So right now, it's not about him. Right now, it's not about him. We don't care.
He's a failure.
We don't care. It's not about Tibotaj right now.
Continue.
I'm continuing.
Yeah.
So what I liked about Lerato, I think I've done an interview with Lerato. Mm-hmm. What I like about Lerato is that even though when she was working with those scaly papers, she would actually, you know, confidently say, listen, this is my angle of writing.
Yeah.
I will not change what you told me and I will not trash it and I will not try and find a scandalous selling point towards your interview so that we can get sales. Mm. And that's what one of the things that made me comfortable to have an interview with Lerato in the first place, you know, just saying, okay, we're going to bring the integrity of it all. Mm. It won't be lies. And even sometimes she will say, okay, this is how it's going to look like. Do you like it? Mm. And then you can say yes or no, you know?
Okay.
And I know she fights with the editor. So I'm like, I promised her that I was not going to write that line. And they'll be like, no, that's the silly point. No, don't you? You know, then that's what happens. So that's what I like about the people that we have in studio.
You know what's the importance of what you are saying?
Yeah.
Is that sometimes people have the wrong version or wrong view of journalists. Mm. And they don't actually realize that they're actually grounded, morally good journalists that actually are human beings too.
Yeah, true.
And I think it really, what you just said, you know, you're profiling our guests and they don't really realize that we know that about them. And that's the perception we hold about them, that we actually value and appreciate journalism because of them.
Absolutely. Mm. True. Okay. So, the Gabby, tell us, why journalism and why did you think that you can write it in English? Eh? Why are you not writing for Isolezwe?
Look, I love writing. I was that kid that had that song book, had that fact file book. Mm-hmm. And in my heart of hearts, I wanted to be a magazine owner. But I didn't know what really goes into it. Mm. So when I started, it was just those books and I'd spread them around in the school and then people would read it and then comment. That was me. Ideally, my parents didn't want me to do journalism. My aunt who passed away, Nyoni Tusini, she used to be an SABC journalist. And I really loved it. I was just so intrigued by how they travel, the whole nine yard. But I wanted to write. I didn't want to do the TV part of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you do end up doing TV and radio a bit here and there. But that's how I got into it. And then when I went to varsity, my father was like, okay, your BCom accounting is waiting for you. And I think within the second week of BCom accounting, I actually fibbed to my parents and I moved myself to media and marketing because I couldn't cope. But genuinely, I just love writing. I blog, I write for other people as well. And that's who I am. Yeah. And I don't see myself without it. You know, I don't know. Other people enjoy other things, but this is for me, writing is it.
And then you enjoy it and then you make a bit of money out
but
of
how,
it.
But yeah. How did you manage to convince? Because, growing up in a cultural family, how were you able to convince your parents that this is what you want to do? Or was it your parents were more progressive? It's like, you know, they allow their child to do whatever they like? Or
look, my father's very strict. He's very, very Zulu. Very, very Zulu. Mm-hmm. But I didn't tell him, I think, until my first semester marks came out. And then I wanted to show him as evidence that this, I'm actually good at this, because he wasn't going to understand if I said I'm going to media. My dad kind of is my parents are math inclined. Mm-hmm. So for them, they didn't understand that whole, you can be a creative thing. So being a fairy was completely out of the question. So when I did that, it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to keep this a secret for a bit. And then when my marks came out, I actually went and I sat them down and I said, look, I'm actually not coping in accounting. I don't like it. I don't enjoy this office desk look. Vibe. I want to be a creative. And I mean, they were very understanding, weird enough. Yeah. And I think they're more proud now when they see it progressing so much than before in the beginning. Because in the beginning, obviously, my dad didn't want me to go and waiter and do the measly jobs while I wait for a job.
Yeah.
But I was lucky within 3 months out of varsity, I got an internship at John, which it's now. Oh, gosh. Now we are going to be Tiso Black Star or something like that.
Oh, is it?
No longer going to be Times Media Group.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when Lerato?
Same, actually. We almost have a similar story.
What, you're going to do BCom accounting
No, 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 no. But literally, I was in the debating team. I've always loved music. So for me, that's always been my basis. I'm more of an arts entertainment. I love that. At school, I would do debates. You know, you have that English teacher that will always, you know, come, let's do this, read this, you know. So I did that when I was in school a lot. And I also remember when I matriculated, my father was like, right, good marks in math and this, you know. So what do you want to do? And I'm like, okay, I want to study journalism. And I remember he was also like, no, man, no, you know. I think in his head, he thought sound engineering was because he heard engineering at the end. And he was just like, maybe sound engineering, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember after I matriculated, I took a gap year. And then I just said, you know what, let me upgrade my marks because I wasn't happy with my science marks.
Okay.
And in that interim, then obviously he was like, okay, vets, you know, apply and all that. And he didn't know that I had already gone and registered at Boston Media House. And I was doing promotions, so I used my own money to do that.
Wow.
Yes. So okay. When the semester Varsity started, I remember he came to me and he was like, so why are you still at home? Why say school? And I was like, no, because, you know, colleges start a bit later. And I literally told him also, like, I think a month later, my dad didn't speak to me for like about 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Literally, he was like, I'm not having any of this. I actually don't know how I made him come around, but eventually he did. And I remember when I started writing as well and interning, he was the first person to frame the things there.
Exactly. Like,
my daughter, pride. You know?
You see my daughter. My daughter knows these things.
Yeah.
So a quick question on my side as well is, you know, usually a lot of young people never take responsibility and accountability for their own lives, and they blame their parents, mm-hmm. and they sit on that corner for life. And you here, you actually went and got a job and you actually paid for yourself. Mm. If you had to create a belated moment for someone listening going through a similar situation right now, what would you say? Here is a child sitting there and they're saying, you know what, my parents are to blame. Things didn't turn out well for me. What would you say?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's your life. It's your journey. So I say that, yes, our parents want the best for us, but you know what's best for you. I don't know what I would have done had I gone a different route, but that wasn't me. And you don't want to be that person that will study something for 4 or 5 years and then down the line realize that, no, actually, this is not really what I want. So you need to take control. You need to take charge. You need to own it. If you fall along the way, it's fine. It's your journey. So write your own journey and do it. You will defy people along the way, but it's your journey. Just do it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That you must take responsibility of your own life and your actions, because, well, unfortunately, my daughter is doing her final year media studies as well at Rhodes, and she was saying to me, I'm going to do internship and I'm going to, I was like, don't ask me. She said, don't, you have friends? I'm like, I don't have friends who are doing media things like you. No, I don't know them. You must go and find them. And it was, and that's when she, I think she, after she did her first year, she was going into her second year. And I think that's when she realized that, okay, it's not going to be as easy
as I thought,
it was going to be. But then she started making her way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then there was a time where she was working at the SABC. She has worked with a couple of media houses. And then she went to work with NRG FM in Polokwane. Mm. And I was like, you must find those things. Mm. Bring me a report. And where you get stuck, I will help you. But I'm not going to be phoning my friend and go like, madam, I know you're sitting in your office right now. My daughter, I'm not going to do that. So she had to find her own way. But now, I also know, as much as media journalism is very, very interesting, it sounds beautiful the way you say, like, people are just traveling and they, you know, they call you to come and eat this food at restaurant. It is not as easy as it looks or as it seems, because there's so much work that goes into it. And for instance, some of the basic things for me is vocab. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you can't be writing like me going, actually, by the way, anyways, you can have a column filled with anyway. As she was saying, no, it's like you need to be able to play
it's
with
craft.
Words.
Tell
you,
a story.
It's a craft. It's, you paint this picture that someone needs to, when they see it, when they read it, and then they can even, when it's a gripping story, they can feel the agency in what you're writing, you know?
Can I borrow from that?
Romeo loves borrowing, guys. Yo, Romeo will borrow, and he never brings back.
Relax. You're going to love me for this. So, you know, talking about writing beautiful stories and, you know, writing beautiful English as well, what are some of the courses you had to attend in order for you to get you to the level of articulation that you are at now? Any international, local? Because I know you would have had such opportunities.
Yeah, I did kind of a lot of stuff. I know there's a lot of courses that IAJ offers to students. It's writing courses. I did a 3-month stint in Washington, which was English literature and something else. But that was just for me, personal gain for me, because I felt strong. Well, they could feel I'm strong in the newsroom. You mustn't forget, I'm not the only person that's part of the crafting of the story. It comes from me. I write the first draft. It goes to my news editor, who edits whatever they feel, and then they perfect it in whatever English they want it in. And then it goes to the sub, who also plays along with the story. And then it goes to a proofreader, who must go. By the time it gets back to me, I'm the fifth person to touch it again. And then I must read it again and kind of have an understanding. Sometimes things creep in into the copy, which is why you go back and say, no, look, this creeped in. I don't know which process it creeped in on, but that's why you keep a version of your story. And there are certain elements that they bring in that are not in your control, which is the headline. And the subheading, which I mean, the subheading for me is, you can have a bit of a control. You do go back and say, look, I'm not comfortable with this, you know, and it's happened to me several times. I mean,
because
it happened,
your name carries that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the problem. I mean, it happened with me and my friend Gareth. I mean, I did this amazing story. It was a beautiful story, but somebody creeped in a lot of stuff in that whole thing. And my problem is that you will get hurt along the way. And I was hurt by that. Personally, it tainted who I was. I felt like it was a personal attack on me, but I wasn't the person who wrote the subheading or the headline, which is another thing that people need to be aware of. You know, but I mean, going back to your question, the English, it started from primary. You won't believe. I only saw a white person and spoke English and went to a white school only when I was 9. That's 1994. I didn't know a single word of English. They threw me into the school, and my mom just wanted something better for me. But English, and I am. You hear me speak it now, but
yeah,
I'm
you're like no, yeah.
English for me is like, it's such a challenge, and there's always a need for you to improve and get and better and up your thing, because every section in a newspaper doesn't write in the same style.
Yeah, true.
So if I write for Lifestyle, it has to be 5,000 words of English. Hello. Chances of me repeating are very, 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 very huge.
Yeah.
But if I'm writing for, it's a news story, 600 to 800 words, which is not bad. I can do that in my sleep, you know. But the 5,000 words, especially with travel pieces, I find it so redundant, and I feel like, oh, okay, so now what do I say, you know? But
And that's like every
force.
Same. Obviously, I also went to Boston, and I think from school, I went to a local school, but it was a Roman Catholic school. So we did have, like, you know, white teachers, but it was Gosoweto. I went to St. Peter Claver. So from then on, yes. And then I went to Immaculata High School. And then obviously we'd interact with other Catholic schools. So you would get that. And obviously the reading. I did poetry as well. I would, like, go and perform, go Newtown, Libo Flow, you know. So I've always loved that. And I guess the writing poetry and the reading and the interest helped my vocab. And then obviously when I went to school, and then I also did a couple of courses. I also did some leadership courses. So it's, you never stop learning, literally. You never stop learning.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that when you're a writer as well, you need to have your own style. So learning that is also a challenge on its own, because you read a lot of things and then you're like, ish, okay,
the conflict,
there's conflict, and then, but you need to find your own voice.
Yeah.
That's another struggle. So you learn that, and then you're like, okay, maybe only I can say this like this and it would make sense.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, you know, in newspapers where Gabby was, you know, saying the hierarchy. For me also, now I'm on that end because now I'm an entertainment editor.
Yeah.
So now I sit and I also edit other people's things.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the nice thing is that I get to the best of both worlds. So I get to do the tabloid stuff, and then I also get to do the arts and the profiling.
Yeah.
So for me, it's, you know, there are challenges, obviously. And some people just don't get it. It's not easy.
It is not easy. But now, talking about the challenge, especially with tabloids, because right now, I mean, we can't dispute the fact that online media, social media has taken over.
Yep.
And what I found, one of the biggest challenges for me, even I'm not a journalist, but I found myself being frustrated that if I were a journalist, some of the things that people write would completely frustrate me. right now we get so many articles, online articles, that are based on someone's tweet. Mm. Nobody tries to find the story behind the story, you know. I mean, a tweet is 140 characters. Okay. Mm. And in that 140 characters, I basically just say, yeah, this is what happened. And then, but nobody calls me to say, we see you wrote this tweet. What did you mean by that? What had happened? Tell us the story. They just take the tweet as it is, make a headline, copy the tweet, even Insta, because Insta, you can even have like Instagram, you can have a longer long story.
Caption. Mm.
And they just use that and they say, Rami quit Cliff Central.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying.
And then
they make it. It's like a big thing. She quits. She resigns from Cliff Central. Mm-hmm. Then next thing you read the story.
It's an example, like, guys. In case you listen to the podcast 6 months later.
And then she says, and then there's a already like an hour or so later. Mm. There's a whole article with Rami quits Cliff Central, according to a tweet that she put up earlier this morning. This is what she said. They put a post, a picture of the tweet, and then say, and then some of the people, here are some of the replies, from the thing. Then they put my tweet with the replies, and they're like,
on your page,
from my page, not even like nothing. It's basically copy and paste, and that's an article. And I'm like thinking, for someone who has done journalism and you've put so many years into it, and then you find that these are the stories that people actually go and click on because they sell it. It's like quick fleeting fast food.
But remember, they're using that as to obviously to grow their social media, and because it's like, you know social media information now.
Yes, I understand that, but then for instance, I have issues with Times Media online. There's Gabby going, I've got issues with Times Media online. For me, Times Media is serious news.
For the record, I don't write for that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying,
It's an entity.
Times online. I know it's an entity on its own. Like the people who write the online, I know the people who give us the hard copy. I have a problem with the people who do that. For me, Times is like serious news. Understand? There's some stuff that I'm going to expect from Daily Sun, stuff I'll expect from Sunday World, stuff from the Star.
Yeah, the target market.
You know, I know how it goes. But now, I can't be reading something that's supposed to be in the Daily Sun on Times. And I'm like, okay, so who's going to write the stuff that's supposed to be on Times?
But let's get this.
So, clarify that quickly. Properly.
What happens is that there's a digital team structure or digital whole new world that's happening now. So people don't no longer want to go koning ulereka pampir, right? So people now want it, oh, I've got a phone and I will do this. But bear in mind that there's only over 7 million South Africans on Twitter, all right?
Yeah.
And I think 3 on Instagram and 16 on Facebook. They are trying to get as many people to click onto the website. So it's the clicks that count. It's no longer what is being sold anymore. So, and I feel like, and that's why it's now bagged and called Chisa Live. Because they realize that with Times Live, it's supposed to be serious news. And it's which they've still maintained. But then because they tweeted from the Times Live thread as well, it kind of gets distorted and gets lost along the way. Which is my main issue with the whole thing. But that's why Sunday Times on its own also has its own website. So you click on top and you see the Sunday Times thing there. Well, most of the stories will be locked today, but then they're all open during the week. So you kind of have an idea of what story.
Because you also still need to keep the to push the paper, the actual hard copy.
Which people only read, like, it takes a week for most people to read the Sunday Times because it's so heavy. It's content heavy. But it's the nice thing is that I love that people still feel like if I read it on Wednesday, I can still get a gist of what's going on. But if you have a problem, which is, and I always say to people, if you have a problem, I swear to you, just go to the ombudsman. Just because it's a digital space, it doesn't mean you cannot not complain. You can still complain. You can still take them to court because it belongs to a certain.
It's still governed.
You know me. I don't.
But
have
that breaks. Never goes
I'll
anywhere.
Immediately.
It doesn't.
So I've just kind of like I hit my own belated moment, and you know what I'm kind of like picking up from what you're saying. I mean, I can hear the elements of personal growth from a career perspective. And I kind of like want us to talk about that. You know, sometimes you get a job, you get there, you do your job, you get paid, you go home. And here you are, you started as a journalist, you know, And then I listen to the way you speak now. For me, you actually make a good CEO of TMG. But wow. What is the importance of growing and having that focused mind to say, I'm going to start here, but I need to move in this direction?
Mm. Yeah.
Because clearly, I mean, if Times Media Group now had to send you to go represent them overseas, you are there already.
Mm.
But then you started at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so what is the importance of, you know, having a planned growing structure or career roadmap mm-hmm. within whatever that you're doing as a person?
Look, everybody starts at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I always say we all start as the tea girl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as Uzofika and you're going to be the hit maker.
Mm.
It's impossible. And if you get thrown into the deep end like that, your chances of failing are very high.
Sure.
It's much better if you start and say, I'm going to learn A, B, and C and go there. When I started, I was 20. And the weirdest thing is that...
You look 22.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been 13 years now.
True.
When I started, I was working over in the metro. I was employed. My first employer was the Sunday Times, which is the deep end for a child.
Mm.
I've always said I wished, knowing what I know now, I wish I had started at like a younger paper, Sowetan, or and then grow within the spec. But I went straight in, deep end. And Sunday Times is a huge beast, very demanding. They only want exclusives. They don't want to follow up on so-and-so story. They want to start and break the story and then everybody else can follow. They're your mind. Huh. That's just the precedence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned how to treat things away that like that. So I don't, if I speak to Rami, I mean, she knows this from her book.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it after everybody's done it. So she was like, no, it's only, I've only got a manuscript. And I'm like, yes, bring the manuscript. I'll read it, even with the mistakes, and then we'll talk about it. And that's what I want.
Mm.
The idea is to chase first, and then you can do the follow-ups after. Mara Lowe's book, same thing. Garrett's book, everybody. I have to literally be on tap with what everybody's doing and have it first. Because if I come back a week later and somebody else has got it, defeats the purpose. Mm-hmm. Then we're no longer Sunday Times. Then we might as well be Times or anything else that just follows everything else.
Right.
But I started from the Metro. And the weirdest thing is that within 8 months, I got a column. Where I had to write about parties. So I started attending parties and I started getting an idea of, so this is what Gwen Gill does. And I loved Gwen Gill.
How amazing was Gwen?
Oh,
I loved Gwen Gill as
best
well.
Thing ever.
Was,
and the trick was I wanted so hard to learn how to write without pissing people off.
Mm.
Her style of writing, like she'll be dissing you, and, but you laugh along with it because you wouldn't feel like,
I mean, Patrice Motsepe has fallen victim to her slate.
She slayed it. If there was, she was savage.
Yeah.
Gwen Gill, guys.
That's what she would be called now. But she was really so good at it that she can walk into the party the next week and people will be like, oh, Gwen, you here? You here? Oh, move.
Beautiful.
Oh,
do you want to drink? Do you want to drink?
Like something. And it's happening now. I mean, it happens a lot for me because, I mean, I find myself being in a situation where I have to actually tell people, calm down. I'm not the person you are hosting. Like, it's about the softers. Don't let it be about me. Like, then they're all chasing, Gabby, did you wake up okay? Did you sleep okay? I'm that's a bit extreme. Thanks.
Mm.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the
you have to it grows and I've noticed a lot of the younger entertainment journalists want to come in and instantly be Gabby's level and I've had a lot of those in my newsroom and most of them end up leaving when they realize it's actually not as pretty.
It's a hard seat. Looks. Uh-huh. Really is
That is true because I mean I think we met in 2006.
Yeah. That's like my second year of journalism,
2006. And already, it was that thing like, okay, fine, if you want an interview, you can get interviewed by Gabby C, like, you know? And then, I mean, there were a whole lot of other names, and they're like, not that one. That one, she's going to talk trash. She's going to talk trash. She's going to, you know, you're like, not this one, not this one, not that one.
Yeah.
But now, you know, now we talk about like this, the so-called high level, like you talk about the Sunday Times. But Lerato, this is where I want you to get in.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we'd like to deny it, there is white reporting and there is black reporting, which takes us back to Sowetan, to Sunday Sun, to Sunday World, to
the tabloids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've noticed that obviously the language can never be the same.
Mm-hmm. No,
you can't speak over you can't speak over the audience.
Right. Yeah.
But now not only the language but the types of articles or the content.
Mm-hmm.
It is so different.
There are.
So you find that with the black newspapers, we are more about what sells is the scandals, who did what, who did who, and way. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what sells the paper first. And then the so-called successful stories with like 200 Nyana words in a corner. And then they will say, this black excellence business did this and this and that. Mm. And I'm just trying to understand why that. And is there a way of turning it around where we actually have successful black stories being the ones that mm-hmm. sell, that actually sell the stories? Because right now, what would sell more? It would be Bonang quit Metro FM mm-hmm. instead of Bonang just launched her own girls' learnership program. That will be thrown in as one of the sentence somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
but her leaving Metro FM is what's going to sell the paper.
Obviously. Yeah. I think the thing that people need to understand 100% is that newspapers have genres as well. They serve a certain purpose. That's what people need to understand first. Mm. Hence, there's tabloid, there's politics, there's this, there's that. So what I will speak in turn about tabloid, because that's what I do, right? So when I'll go back to the publisher, the person that created the Daily Sun and the Sunday Sun, black man, Dion du Plessis, he passed on. And when it started out, his aim was to make sure that the person in the blue overall in the township reads.
Yeah.
So making the English as simple as possible. Uh-huh. Right. Mm. Now, add on to that, what would make the person in the blue overall read? It would be stories that they relate to.
Amen.
And what are the stories that they relate to? Number one would be witchcraft.
Okay, I wanted to really say that I find it such a belittling thing.
Yes, me too.
Thing,
I
find
understand
myself reading
you.
Those stories as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was, it's not even unfortunate. Listen, that's a market that he saw and it's a gap. And at the time, it made sense.
And I mean, the paper is R1. That's, who didn't buy it?
Mara, we've gone up now.
No, I know, but that's where it started.
It was
literally free. So
it was.
In a taxi, everyone will be reading.
Be opening
so
that.
That is one objective.
Yes.
That was.
Yes.
Yeah. But now, which is why I said like the following question was like, how then do we turn it around?
Now, how do you
open your own?
How
media
do
house?
You? That's the only way. It's this is owned by someone else. This is someone else's property.
Mm. Yeah.
This is their intellectual property. So the only way that you would do it is opening your own. I mean, at the time, Hanebo Sunday Sun started, there weren't a lot of other publications, but now there's a lot of, you know, publications. Yeah. There's online. People have access to it. So I feel the thing, Yaur, when people are like, Daily Sun, then don't read it if it doesn't resonate with you. Mm. I know it's harsh or it's a hard thing to say, but the fact is, if it's not for you, then it's not for you. Yeah. But there are 5.5 million readers that read it every single day.
Yeah.
Same applies to the Sunday Sun, right? Sunday Sun is a tabloid. Sunday Sun is designed, it's a celebrity tabloid.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's about. But it doesn't mean that a good story won't make a front page. But the thing is, what sells? It's a business at the end of the day. Yeah. We are in the business of selling papers. Mm. As much as we want to tell, you know, stories. And I don't know, people maybe have this thing of we go around digging in people's trashes or, you know, it's actually
myth. It's all your friends.
It's not like
that. They do.
No, but they do.
No.
They do. Hey,
let me tell you.
I will name and shame.
Let me tell you, Ram. Okay, then that would be a different.
A personal thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you have, it's like in any workplace or any workspace where you have people that you know that this person is where they're supposed to be, this is what they're doing. And then there are people that are in there with agendas. Not all journalists are bad. Mm. Not all tabloid writers are bad. I'm a tabloid writer. I've written about a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's how you write it. It's how you deliver it. It's how you report it. Mm. Hence, I'm still able to pick up the phone and talk to them. I've never had fights. I've never had lawsuits. I've never had, but I've written hard-hitting stories. Mm.
True.
So, and then you get people that are, or other journalists with their approach and they have whatever mandate they have. You know, there's a couple where you want to do this and you're like, I'm against, this is what I want to do. This is what I've set out to do. But it's not the case. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a person in the public eye, people want to know about you. People want to know about you. They want the good, the bad, everything, you know. And the people around you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, are the ones
are the
that would come
snitches.
To me and call to me and say, hey, or Gabby, and say, this is what's happening.
But then they also get
the
called out as well. I mean, even at work, you know, people be like, you'll say something weird would happen. Mm-hmm. Like, not even, okay, I'll give you an incident. Mm-hmm. When I was doing Mubango, I once walked off set. Mm. And let me tell you why I walked off set. I can't prepare lines and everything. Then you as the other actor,
you don't know
what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of time.
It is.
And it's not like first try, like, oh, you didn't. I'm leaving. It was like shooting, so going,
going.
When you're like patient, but then it gets to the point where even the cameramen are like, I was like, oh, like really?
It's disrespectful.
That is so disrespectful.
True.
And yes, and I walked off set.
And then you were called a diva, I remember.
And they're like, she's a diva. She walked off set. But nobody called me to say, so what do you have to say about... Nobody said, why do you walk off set? And because this is the reasons I would have given. Come to work prepared.
But would you have though? That's my biggest query. Would you have given that reason?
Yes, I would have.
Look, my biggest issue with this game of who said, you didn't call me, whatever. I've always said to people, I will write the story. And if it's a bad story, trust you, me. Yeah. You are the first person I'm going to call. I'm not going to ask your friends.
Exactly.
I'm not going to put foot around it. Yep. I want to hear you tell me what happened. And you must also, when I call you, I will let you know, this is not my father's paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One. Mm-hmm. They need this. They need that.
Yeah.
What is your response to A, B, C?
True. Exactly.
Do you want some time to think about it? That's why I'm calling you on Tuesday. Have a response for me by Thursday. If you cannot oblige to my response,
then you'll just say yes. I called.
She didn't.
Exactly.
It's called the Bukhoshi rule in journalism.
I've got my two burning questions.
I have to go to your house. I have to go to try
and
find
trash.
I'll have to do everything. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
But sometimes I find it very, very obscure that celebrities, and it actually ekes me the way people just want to go, yeah, it's those journalists. There's no such thing.
Yeah, no,
there's no such thing. Not everybody's out to get you, and not everybody. You don't pay my bills. Why the 100%. Hell would I be chasing you? Like, why 100%. Are you taking it so personally?
But then what I say to people is, then choose who you give interviews to.
That's the thing.
I've got my own people that I give interviews to. I mean, the two of you, I would always give interviews to, for instance. And I remember when Lerato Shabalala was still doing, writing, I would do that. Mm-hmm. I've got a list. Like, this, yes, I can speak to Dibashini, for instance.
Yeah.
I've got names. And I've got people that I will never talk to. Mm-hmm. I won't speak to Aubrey, for instance. I think he's like, Aubrey, can I see his name?
We need to wrap up. And I've got two questions needed to ask you because somebody asked me. Mm-hmm. Question number one is, a lot of the times people don't understand how you qualify, a story to take. People would feel that, I've been writing and, no responses. So people need to understand how an entertainment story or profiling, individual profiling works. And number two, I want to challenge both of you, including Leslie Mofokeng as well. When are you guys having a show? This is what Rami and I did.
Oh, wow.
We get interviewed on all other shows. We make other people's shows look good.
Yeah.
But then that's how Belighted was born. So you as, such an awesome bunch, and you are all good friends, when are you guys going to have a show? Entertainment show. So two questions. How do you select a story to profile? And when are you guys planning to have a show? The three of you, especially.
Okay. So, I mean, Sunday Times, I can only speak for Sunday Times, Civic Press, and Sowetan. Those are the three publications I've worked into. I have to pitch the story. So I have to be confident about it. I have to be able to sit there with my news editor and my bureau chief, who both have to be sold, and the rest of the journalists. So we sit in a conference on a Tuesday at 9 and we thresh out these stories. Either people can add to my content or they will all be like, I know. It's kind of like a voting system. They feel up where you are.
Okay.
But for me, writing about somebody who I don't know, you have to have something very compelling for me to sell it.
Right.
Yeah, last week, I did a story I did a story about a kid who's 19, graduated in financial math and in actuary science. For me, that's something flipping amazing that I felt like, you 19
and you
started school.
That, yeah.
Well, how did you do that? Mm-hmm. That it needs to have that we call that old fuck factor. That's what we call it in the newsroom. And then I need to be able to say, would my mom, so it's what would you tell your mom if you had to? So that's an intro. So ultimately my thing was, he's 19, he's graduating in 2 degrees. How's that possible? That's a story on its own.
Okay.
So that's it.
And then for me, obviously, when it comes to the Daily Sun, because on the Daily Sun, I do the Sun Buzz, which is the entertainment. So obviously, it would be new singles, new albums, but I can't help you if you don't have anything yet, because the Daily Sun is more of a lower end market. Anyone with a, you don't have to have a bomb album or be out there, but you have to have some content. So that's how I would push it. And then same applies to the Sunday Sun. But on the Sunday Sun, it's more known people. It's more celebrities, more, you know, popular people. But it doesn't mean that you won't get to the Sunday Sun. You will eventually. But that's just the higher end, yes. And then for Page Threes, because Page Threes on the Daily Sun is also, yeah, that's the one. Most of my reporters that report to me would come to me and say, I have the story. And then I'd say, okay, take a look at this angle. This might work. This might not work. Then I still go back into the management meeting where we pitch and we fight it off. Yeah. Same thing.
So when are you doing a show? When can we expect a show from the three of you?
You say this. I used to have TG Squared with Trevor Gumbi, and then I left for Cape Town, which was also here in Cliff Central. Yeah. The same slot.
Yeah.
And Trevor started having too many gigs, and then actually we gave Nina a chance. So it was me and Nina, which is how Nina is now making it up. But it was fun. But I think it's just so time consuming. I'm a single mom. I've got so many other commitments in my life, including attending events, which actually irritates me now. But
sorry.
All right, we gotta go.
But okay, we have to go. But you know what? I just wish that, especially for the black communities, that you know, we get more positive stories. Yes, the scandals are fine. It reminds people that we are also human. Yeah. But then also, let's just focus more on all of that, because I see it also influences the type of advertising you attract. You know,
no, true.
The Sunday Times will get Investec and Alan Gray, and then we'll get Pep come and get a loan.
Yeah.
The whites are being told to come and invest, and we get a loan and Mbesa and all of that, and we get adverts for beers and all of that. Yeah.
So
we hope that a black company can we get a black publication? And I mean, obviously it's not going to happen overnight, but I think it will be something that will be.
But I mean, also we've been doing our bit, you know. I know the Leslie's, the you know,
Palace has given me the look like, did I just not tell you to wrap up? But you know, obviously this is, we can come back in a few weeks and do this again, and we'll have something else extra to talk about.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that has been Belighted. Thank you so much for
gracing us.
And yeah, Maromza in his suit, I know Maromza works with him on time. He doesn't joke like that. It's been lovely. Bye.
Hi, this is Les DeChef, and you are listening to Belighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com.